I'll be reading from 1 Kings 19, 1 through 4. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he'd killed all the prophets with the sword. And so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." And Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said, "take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." We'll continue with verse 8. And so he got up and ate and drank. And strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenants, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, and he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with a sword, and I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." And the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm reading Luke 8, verses 26 through 39. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but he had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting to the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Gracious God, bless us on this day as we roll away our burdens and lift up the face of your Son Jesus so that we can walk and delight in your healing love. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I really love this story in Elijah. It's one of the great stories in Scripture. It goes, as Debbie was saying, there's a lot of imagery that captures us. There's so much to unpack. It's hard to know where to start in the story, but I might just start in verse 13. And a voice said to Elijah, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people," I should probably say in a different tone of voice, I think, right? It should sound more like this. "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, tore down your altar, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." We hear this speech from Elijah over and over again, and I don't blame him for whining a little bit. Wouldn't you be whining too? I'd be complaining to God. "Come on, God. I did what you asked me to do. I broke down the altars. I lifted up Yahweh, the one God. And these other folks who are worshiping Baal and these other gods, doing these other things, having loyalties in other places, they're putting me to the task. They want to kill me. They put a death warrant out for me. They want to kill me. Where do we feel like we've been doing all we could? Where we've been doing everything that God is telling us to do, and we keep on coming down the hill? I don't know if you remember that Greek myth about the guy who rolls the stone. Do you remember that myth? Sisyphus, you got it, right? He's pushing up that hill, this big, long, steep grade, and he's pushing this hill with all of his might, and he's almost at the very top where he can rest finally, and what happens? He rolls all the way back down. Probably smushes him on his end. Can you imagine his toes? His toes must have been black and blue from all the bruises. You know, we feel a lot like Sisyphus in our lives. If we're pushing up the boulders of our life, the burdens in our life, we're doing what God asks us to do, care for the kids, care for our parents, care for our neighbors. And what do we get for it? We just get crushed by all these burdens. It's funny, when you live in community, people don't do what they should do necessarily, right? When we try to help a friend or help a neighbor or help a stranger, what happens more often than not? It comes back and egg gets all over our face. And we might even, I don't know if this ever happened, you might even say, "Why did I help that person?" Has that ever happened to you before? I'm sure it has. I've told stories before about times when I've engaged in homeless ministry as part of a church and organization. You know, it's one thing if you're doing this as an individual and you're just, you know, you kind of see somebody in need and you slip them a $5 or you drive them to the bus stop or something like that. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But when you're part of a programmatic ministry and egg gets all over your face, oh, that's so hard to do. It's embarrassing almost. You get embarrassed to be helping people. But we're not called to do that, right? We're called to keep moving up that mountain and lifting up and helping other people along the way. How can we be free to use our leg strength, to use our arm strength, to work for others? It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. When we start pushing up that boulder up the mountain, we begin to realize that we're not alone. Elijah didn't realize that he wasn't alone until he went into that cave. And the interesting thing about the cave scene is he's buried in this cave, in this, you know, hollow of a rock. And God invites him to listen to, he's coming. He's coming to the mountain. And what does he hear? What does Elijah hear? He hears the crashing of the rocks, right? Now, crashing of the rocks, if you're a worshiper of Baal in that time, what is, those gods are the gods of the lightning and the gods of creation. So that's not a big deal to hear bolts of lightning. You also hear trees crashing. One of the stories and images that the gods were responsible for distinct mountains or for a particular tree. And so it's really no big deal to hear noise from a god in a tree. But ultimately, where Elijah experiences the presence of God is in what? Sheer silence. It can be translated a lot of different ways. One of my favorite translations is, he hears God in the sheer silence. Sheer silence. I'm somebody who loves this Greek word. I don't know that many Greek words. I'd have a hard time pronouncing some of these words today too. But one of the great Greek words is kenosis. It means emptying. It's in the empty spaces that we experience the grace of Jesus Christ. We get that sense that we're not alone. And that was the promise to Elijah as he stood on this mountaintop. You're not alone. And you're only not alone. Enough of that whining. We got work to do, Elijah. We got to go back. Go back. Go back to those places that I know you're fearful, but I'm going to be with you. You're going to go back to another wilderness space and you're going to anoint a king. You're going to anoint a king because we got work to do. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, there is this relationship between politics and spirituality, church, and they're ultimately linked. You see that over and over again. We as Americans, we want to kind of separate a little bit. We want to say that we keep our church and politics divided, and I understand that for government purposes, but as a people of the book, we've got to recognize is that our lives can't be compartmentalized. We can't be put in little boxes. We can't be put into little cubby holes. If you do so, you might find yourself feeling like Legion, where you have these different spirits for different occasions. That's never a good way to feel. Speaking of Legion, why is this crazy guy called Legion? Have you ever wondered that? That's kind of a strange name. Well, we understand that he's got not just one evil spirit, but he's got multiple evil spirits. Have you ever met anybody with what might be called an evil spirit? Have you ever met anybody like that before? I have in my life. I don't want to use that word evil, but there's something outside of that person that's impacting them and making decisions for their good heart, their good selves, that they really can't control. You know, doctors nowadays realize this too, and so we try to support people to try to, not exorcisms per se, but we try to treat people and honor that human spirit so that these other voices kind of get out of the picture, so they don't dominate somebody. But why is this person who has multiple personalities called Legion? You ever wonder that?
An army.
Right? The armies at the time, who was the big bad army? The Roman army, and they were called legions, which means an army of about 5,000 people. And I wonder, were legions ever active in this part of Israel? Yes. A number of years before, they had put down one of the first Jewish rebellions, and they had massacred about a thousand of the Jewish, rebels, near that spot. You know, as we think about Legion and why this person would call himself Legion, I wonder if he's calling himself a legionary. I wonder if maybe he had even been part of the Roman army that had participated in a massacre. That'll make somebody go crazy, right? In our world today, we know that our soldiers who are returning from places of war and rumors of war, they're under such enormous pressure. They're under such enormous reality in which life and death are just around the corner, where bombs could be exploding every which way. That'll make you go crazy, won't it? We must continue to affirm our government putting monies to support our women and men who are overseas in harm's way, so when they come back, they can be taken care of. That's one of the huge issues today. But what is Jesus doing in this story? You know, Jesus in the story is basically liberating this man. He's healing this man. He sends away all these evil spirits and the pigs, which I too find, Debbie, to be very, I love pigs, but they're very smart animals, so I'm sad to see them go. But what is going on in this strange story? What is Jesus doing? Now, if we go back to the Elijah story, do you remember what happens that put Elijah into the desert? You heard a couple of references for it, that he took on the priests, right? He took on the priests of Baal. And what happens at the end? What happens to those priests?
He kills them.
And Elijah is doing God's will, or so he thinks. And so one thing that makes me, as I look forward to the Jesus story, is it does make me think about how do we approach the world in terms of nonviolence? Is war ever the answer, or does it just make a bunch of legionaries go crazy? I think it does. I think when we make decisions about going to war or not going to war, and we're thinking about that this week, aren't we? We got to pray for our public leadership, our generals, our president, so that we make good decisions, that we protect people, of course, all times. We got to protect innocent life. But we got to be really thoughtful about making any decision about going into an area, into armed conflict. Armed conflict changes people. It'll make you go crazy. It'll make a country go crazy. This week, it's not just about the big stuff. It's also about ourselves. It's also about ourselves, and in a little ways, maybe all of us in a small way, we can remember times when we felt like we've got different voices in our heads telling us to do different things. Has anybody ever experienced that before? I hope you can admit to that. There are times when we feel like we're being twisted and torn in different directions, where our heart is being torn because we know the right thing to do, but we might not have the guts to do it. On this day, Jesus is saying to you, speak, be free. I'm with you. I'm with you no matter what. As we approach life, as we approach our living, know that Jesus is always with you in the hard places, in the difficult places. The first sermon I ever preached, and you always go back to the same sermon, it's about what Jesus must have been thinking when he was coming onto the shore, coming off that boat, and there's this crazy guy running at him. What does that feel like when you're coming off a boat which is kind of shaky and there's some crazy person running at you? You want to go the other direction. You want to go into the deeper waters of safety and security. But Jesus is calling all of us to not be afraid. Let's not be afraid of the hard conversations. In personal relationships, in neighborhood conversations, in conversations about our hospital and the importance of our hospital. Let me hear an amen. Amen. We pray for their leadership this week and the next couple of weeks. They got some big decisions that they're going to be making. We got to lift them up. If we don't have the hospital folks, we're going to have a lot of mental health issues exacerbated even more. We really need that resource in our community. But we pray not only for ourselves, for our neighbors, for the larger institutions, but we pray for the people of the world, that they will experience the peace of Jesus Christ. And it comes from good ideas that help people. It comes from educating women. It comes from providing poor people with drinking water that's safe to drink. It comes from lifting up peace and not the sword. Let's pray. Gracious God, bless us on this day, that we let go of those stones that become burdens and that feeling like we're rolling down the hill. No, we're going to press forward. We're going to keep on moving, knowing that Jesus is with us, knowing that we are not alone. Bless us on this day, O God, as we live into the grace of the Scripture, as we open our hearts to be healed by the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is always with us, always before us, always behind us, above us, and in us. Amen.